Like, I can almost see him, like, you know, the disciples being cool. And Jesus, you couldn't believe. We just cast out demons left, right, and center. And Jesus' response, he's like, almost like, I can, okay, give me a bit of liberty here. But I almost feel like he'll say, like, you think that's cool? Yeah. You know? And he looks and he says, you know, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you all authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So we're not going to glorify that thing, but there is a sense of we can walk in it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, that's cool, but you know, I saw Satan fall like lightning, and that's even cooler to watch, but realize this, is that you're called to live in this. And we're not going to make a big thing. The reason we have that is because we want to make salvations. We want to bring people to salvation. That's the reason. So we always got to keep the main thing, but know that deliverance is part of that main thing. Amen. You get it? Okay, cool. Who's your daddy? I like it. So, yeah, so we don't want to dramatize and be, you know, focused on the theatrics of deliverance, although demons will manifest, okay? And they can be weird, but we just got to live in what God's given us, all right? So, and I was just thinking of it, in a sense, I didn't know what to title my message because I just wanted to carry on with the flow of what God is saying. But you can call, if you're taking notes, deliver us from evil, really. That's what I felt. And I felt the Lord's, you know, the Lord's Prayer. We kind of, remember at school we used to read the Lord's Prayer often, you know. I remember Our Father which art in heaven, and it was one of these things that we used to do. In fact, we used to have teachers that would play the music for it, and so, you know, it was like a repetitive thing. But I never really understood it then. You know, at school it was just this ritualistic prayer. And I don't believe the Lord's Prayer was meant to be something that Jesus wanted us to, in a sense, say just in the sense of saying it, for the sake of saying it. I believe it wasn't a ritualistic thing he wanted. It was something he wanted to transform the way we think rather than what we just say. And I was just reading the Lord's Prayer, and it says, let me just quickly read it, Matthew 6, 12 to 13. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's where I got my heading this morning, is to deliver us from the evil one. And as I was reading the Lord's Prayer, it's almost like Jesus wants us to understand we've got to be aware of these things constantly, every day. Because he says, give us this day our daily bread. To me, it's if you say that, you've got to come daily to receive that. Am I right? You've got to daily pray that to receive the daily bread. I mean, you have breakfast every morning, don't you? You have lunch every morning. It's a daily thing. And Jesus is making us aware, hey, we need to tap into the Father. We need to access the things of the Father. Not only that, but it's a thing of let your kingdom come. You know, what the Father's will is in through me, let your kingdom come. And so there's a mindset that Jesus is wanting us to open up. This is not just a ritualistic prayer, but this is the way we've got to live. And then he says, and let your kingdom come. And let us forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So deliverance, the same way we have daily bread, deliverance can be a daily thing too. I've got to be delivered daily. The enemies constantly attack me. It's not a once-off, I tried you once, Benny, I'm going to let you go. You know, no, it's a daily thing. He's looking constantly to attack me. It's not a once-off. Okay, so we got to keep this in mind, church, when we live in what God has for us. Okay, so you with me? Okay, cool. And so we got to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And the enemy is wanting to attack us constantly, daily. I was reading 1 Peter 5. If you can turn there quickly, Marius, verses 3. It says, verse 3, have you got that one? There it says, sorry, your version. Those entrusted to you. No, sorry, I've given you the wrong scripture. I'm looking for the one where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. I don't know who's got that scripture. If you guys can Google it. But anyway, as I was looking at that, it says, be sober and vigilant, okay? This is from Peter. 1 Peter, no, sorry, it wasn't 1 Peter 5, 3. I don't know which scripture it is. You can just find it for me, you know. But it's, have you got it, Walter? What's it?
Verse 8.
Sorry, I had it as verse. Oh, sorry, it's verse 8. My eyes are getting bad. It's not a 3. It's an 8. Thanks, Ronnie. I'll Ronnie's offering me his glasses. So he says, be sober, be vigilant. Okay, in other words, don't be intoxicated with the things of the flesh. The things that's going to move your eyes off an awareness that the enemy is actually actively and he's waking to seek who he's going to take out. We've got to look at it like that. Sometimes we're too intoxicated with the things of the flesh. We're thinking too much in the flesh. So when something happens, we think, oh, that's normal. That's just the flesh responding. And he says, no, be sober, be vigilant. Be aware that the enemy is looking for opportunities to take you out. I don't know. I think this is, and why am I saying this? Because I think we forget, and I've said this before, but Satan hates your guts. He hates you. And he hates you with an aggression like you can't believe. And if he can do anything he can to take you out, he will. And church, and the reason I'm saying that is because in a sense I feel like sometimes we passive with the things of God. We're passive with the spiritual warfare. We don't realize we're engaged in war. And we need to be aware of him. We need to be aware of his tactics. We need to be aware of his devices so we can see it for what it is. And I just want to say this. I think even having Stuart here, it's made me more aware of Satan's devices. It's made me more aware of there's things behind things. You know what I'm saying? Someone doesn't just respond for the sake of responding. There's things in that person that makes them respond. And I want to say as a church, we've got to be careful. We don't just diagnose everything in a sense in the physical. Because we do. We tend to slap a label on something. This is bipolar, and I'm not saying there isn't place for that. But hear what I'm saying. But we like to slap things. That's depression. He's got that. He's on medication. But I think sometimes we don't always run to the cross first. We want to slap a medical diagnosis, and by doing that, what we actually say is we say, God, this is an area of deliverance that you can't touch. Because it's labeled, the doctor says it's a chemical imbalance in my brain, and it could be, but sometimes those things are caused because of spiritual things. And so I want to say, don't always find the opportunity to seek God in that thing, whatever it is. Sometimes it's a once, sometimes it's an immediate, like we've had even this week, we've had breakthroughs like this, but sometimes it's a process because it's a battle of the mind. And so don't emasculate the gospel. Because Christ's power is evident and it's working in us. And we got to believe it. It's a faith thing too, church. Okay, cool. You guys are with me still. Sure. The Bible says, you know, by his stripes we heal. Thanks, Chad. You with me. Yeah. But I just even having Stuart here, I've realized how much of forgiveness flows in freedom. And how much unforgiveness brings bondage. Did you guys pick that up? Just how much? And you know what? One thing that Stuart mentioned, and even Mandy even mentioned it now, you know, she suffered with the spirit of rejection. Now, even in the womb. Now, that is not something that Mandy did. Okay? She was born and she can sense things, you know? And you know what? I think sometimes we don't, it's not always a sin issue. Okay? Sometimes bondages come through other things. They come through, it's a neglect, they come through rejection. They can come through many things because of what your fathers have done. The Bible says that the curse of the generation goes from one, but when we receive Christ, he came and he sets us free from that. But there's still that thing of being delivered from those things. And I just think of, yeah, let me not go there yet. But anyway, but just that thing of awareness, I mean, even in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, there's something of unforgiveness even that creeps in that we hold bondage to. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest things that I've realized, even as Stuart was talking, just how it comes and it holds us. Unforgiveness holds us. And Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive. And then he goes on, but deliver us from evil. So I almost, in a sense, feel that Jesus is acquainting that thing of deliverance from evil, that thing of forgiveness. You got to live in the Father's forgiveness, but you got to access that forgiveness and forgive others. And so we got to be careful of that, church. And Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2. You got that scripture? Paul says at verse 10, it says, "Now whom you forgiven anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." And then he says this. So Paul's saying, listen, I want to live in forgiveness. I want to forgive others. And he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know how much unforgiveness we become ignorant of his devices. The moment someone offends you and hurts you, you're vulnerable to Satan. He says, Satan's got a foothold. He can get a foothold at times. To get a foothold, and you think of a foothold as someone's closing a door. You want to close doors to certain things. If he's got his foot in there, he's got a foothold to get in through that thing. And for unforgiveness, in a sense, can be a foothold that the enemy can bring into your life. And then you do it through the ignorance. And what he's saying is, don't be ignorant. Paul's saying, don't be ignorant of his devices. So, and I want to use a scripture now that Stuart brought up, and I wanted to kind of elaborate because I've never read the scripture in this context of deliverance. And so let's go to Matthew 18, 21 to 35. We're going to read this. And this is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And Peter's asking about forgiveness now. Remember, we're talking about deliverance and forgiveness and how they work together. And Peter came to him and said to the Lord, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And Jesus, it says, up to 7 times. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Okay, so Jesus is talking about forgiveness. He says, I want you to understand what forgiveness is. But then he brings forgiveness in the sense of what it means in the kingdom of God, okay? And what it means in the spirit realm, what happens. And he says, therefore, he kind of uses this illustration. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle an account with his servants. And when he had begun to settle an account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, just let me give you a glimpse of 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money, okay? I was trying to find out commentaries about this, but they say one talent would take 20 years to earn, okay? One talent would take 20 years. So we talk about 10,000 talents. Huh? What, is it 10,000? 10,000? That's 200,000 years you would have to work back that. Is it possible? It's not, huh? I mean, that's more than your lifetime. So Jesus is actually bringing something here. He's talking about an impossibility, okay? But he's talking about what this guy owes the master. Okay, so, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his, now listen to this, with his wife and children, and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but he went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then the master, after he had called him, and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him. Now listen to this. He delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. I always looked at that scripture in the context of salvation, but actually, if you start reading it, really opening it up, it's actually not. It's talking about now. And just as Stuart Greer brought up, you know, often with unforgiveness, we open ourselves up. And I've even read neuroscience is talking about this. People that have unforgiveness, people that have got bitterness towards others, find that they have certain ailments, certain ulcers, certain cancerous things that come in because of that. And we don't, you see, we're not always aware of those things. I'm not saying everything that's cancer is due to unforgiveness, because I think there can be that, you know, some people hold that and they put everything under that light. But I do believe there's something of truth in that. That we've got to be careful, church, that when we hold those things, actually, it's almost like unloosening the torturers to come and take, because we're not living in the forgiveness that Christ has given us. And just think of your debt. Think of how much you owe. Man, we could never repay Christ. Never. And I want to say, even now, you might have a brother that's hurt you and offended you. You've got to be careful. I mean, even that scripture, where it talks about his brother owes him. I was looking at the equivalent to what a brother owes another brother. It's about 264,000 rand, if you were to put it in rand's terms. That's what he would owe. That's a lot of money. Now, when a brother hurts you in that sense, you can't always equate things with monetary things. Sometimes hurt is so painful, it's really hurts. And it really costs a lot. But then there's that awareness, Christ, what have you done for me? And it just changes things, doesn't it? But notice, I've noticed this, and I've noticed it through even counseling people. Because that scripture says, let him take the torturers, but then he says with his wife and his children. You know how often people carry offenses? Hey, I'm talking about, for instance, husbands and wives. And sometimes the wife takes the husband's offense. And she lives in the same torture as he is. You notice that? I have. And I've had to counsel people where the husband's forgiven, forgotten the whole thing, but the wife's still carrying the thing. And I want to say, be careful that you are not carrying a secondhand offense. Because things can happen and everything's clear between the person and the other person that's offended, but you're still carrying that thing. And so I want us to live in freedom, church. I'm not lording this over you. I'm saying get free. Get delivered. Let's live in this wholeness that Christ has given us. We don't need to be under that debt. Am I right? Cool. And Paul, yeah, I won't go there yet, but yeah, so it's a serious thing. I mean, Paul used this illustration when taking communion. You don't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians 11:29 to 30. He says, listen, guys, when you partake of the bread and the wine, he says, some of you are doing it in an unworthy manner, and you're heaping judgment on yourself. Because what you're actually doing is you're saying, God, thank you for the wine. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the bread that you shed your blood for me. You paid my sins in full. And you're eating of this, but at the same time, you're holding something against your brother. And Paul says, be careful when you do that, because you're putting judgment on yourself. And then he says, because of that, some people, even in the body, have suffering weakness and sicknesses because of it. Doesn't that just confirm what Jesus said? So we got to be so careful. I almost feel like the enemy wants to use those things. We got to be aware of his devices. I kind of think of James 3, where it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. Sometimes when people offend us, hey, let's face it, when you get hurt, you want to retaliate. You want to hurt. When you get offended, you want to kind of get your revenge. You know, that shouldn't have happened to me. And in a sense, we become the enemy's, I don't know if you've ever seen, what do they call those things, ventriloquists. It's like, I'm going to slander. And it doesn't come from Satan's lips, but it's me. I'm feeling it. I'm going to slander, or I'm going to backbite, you know. And we're just like a puppet in his hands, really. And we've got to be careful. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. He uses us. But we need to see it. We need to be aware of it. So you guys, so anyway, it says, and then talk about James 3:8, and then verse 6, it says, and a tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire by the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Flip. Imagine the enemy using your tongue to set the fire, and it says it's set on fire by hell. I don't want to be his puppet. I don't want to be used by him to do the things that he wants to. We've got to see him for what he is. We've got to see through things, church. We've got to be a people that are aware of what he's doing, because God wants us to live in this freedom. And I want to use this illustration because, and I want to be vulnerable at the moment because, you know, one of the things Chad prayed was, I'm not going to mention everything, but there's certain things that I've been wrestling with. And it's, you know, one of the things I've realized is we need to keep short accounts with one another. We do. We need to constantly be aware that if I've got something in my heart, I've got to bring it into the light. That's what the word says. If there's something in you, bring it into the light so it can be dealt with. It's not because I want to get revenge. I need to speak. I need to the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Sometimes it's not even a sin. Sometimes it's just, hey, I'm battling with something. We need to be vulnerable. And just in this illustration, I just felt, you know, one of the things, I was just battling with leadership, and the first thing I went was to Chad. I said, listen, but I'm really struggling with this, but I need to work through this thing. And eventually we spoke it out, and Chad says, you've got to trust me on this. And you know, the brokenness in you can say, I don't. And I had to look in my heart and say, okay, Chad, I trust you. I believe what you're saying. Because maybe I'm looking through me.
Man, I just want to add, because for me, it was a powerful time actually yesterday morning, because there was something that had just crept in. And as he, initially the conversation, I was like, whoa, what's happening here? And as I said, trust me, and he said, okay, I trust you, I felt the spirit change. Both Nick and I were sitting in the room and we were having the discussion. And as you said, okay, Chad, I trust you, I felt the spiritual atmosphere change like that. It was almost like Satan had like almost gripped your thinking. And in that, not going too much detail, so just don't paint too many pictures, guys, yeah? But I just felt it was a spiritual attack. And in that moment of him saying, I'm just wanting the power of his word, I trust you, Chad, the spirit changed like that.
And I just want to use this illustration because, you know, I was just, you know what came to mind? I don't know if you've ever seen the Kruger National Park where you see these lion chasers and they go for this herd of whatever, you know, herd of buck. Have you ever noticed how it works? The lion begins the chase, right? And you see the herd begin to move because they sense there's danger and they begin to move. Have you noticed how the enemy takes out? He takes out the weakest or those that are slowly defaulting away from the rest of the group. And what once he gets between you and the rest of the herd, he says, I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. And it's at that place where you're in danger. And I had to even be aware of that. And it's like just that little, it wasn't even a big thought. It was just a little thought. And I'm wrestling with this thing. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm deviating. It's small bits. It's not even a permanent thing. It's just a small thing. And the word says, you know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I want to encourage you guys as a church, if we're going to live in fullness, if we're going to live in the fullness that God has for us, a wholeness, we've got to keep short accounts. We've got to be open in the light. We've got to be transparent. And even in our praying for one another, we have to pray. I need to know, hey, what's Chad battling with that I can pray for him? And there needs to become an exposure. We don't expose things for the sake of exposing it. We expose that to one another so we can pray over that, so God can come and speak over that thing. And there's going to be vulnerable moments for us. And can I say, we dignify people. We don't expose people to things that they shouldn't be exposed in the sense of what's expressed. And but there is a place for it. And I want to encourage you, even ladies, when you've got times that you're feeling something, go to other, you know, our elders' wives are amazing. And they don't have it all, but they come together, and you know what? They find Jesus in that situation. And we've also got to trust one another for these things. We've got to trust that God is working through his body. Okay, I'm just going to, yeah.
That's a bit of a tag team, but just in that comment there as well, ladies, go to your husbands first. He's your covering. He's your covering. He's your leader, firstly. Go to him, and if you can't then process it with him, come to us as a couple. Because for me, I've just seen it so more effectively when a husband and wife team come together, they sit, you know, maybe we just need counseling. We're just not, I can't grasp this thing. Because I don't think sometimes what happens that the devil spins webs around our thoughts and around our minds. But when there's the covering of our husband, man, there's authority in that. That's the correct authority. And in that, there's freedom and healing. For those single ladies, for those of you who don't have husbands, that's a different story. Come to us as elders, because in a sense, we're your authority, we're your covering, and we'll walk you through those things.
Cool. So, why are we doing this? To walk in freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, you were called to liberty. Say, I was called to liberty. Okay, so this is how we walk in liberty. Let's go to verse 16 there quickly. Have you got that scripture? 16. It says, I say then, this is how we walk in freedom. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you were led by the spirit, you are not under the law. You know, I've realized I don't want to be under the law. The moment we get into that place of unforgiveness, automatically we go under the law. We want to exercise that law. God, I want justice for myself. That's under the law. We either going to choose to live in the spirit or we're going to live in the flesh. And I don't want to give, the only way I'm going to live in freedom is living in the spirit. Sometimes people say to me, you know, Benny, I've just got to get my life right. I've got to do this. No, that's law. You don't get your life right. Paul says, if you want to overcome the flesh, if you want to overcome those things, this, you got to walk in the spirit. Not sort the things out and then you in the spirit. You hear what I'm saying? And I think we reverse it sometimes. And so to walk in the spirit, what does it actually mean? Well, let's look at the fruit of the spirit. It says the fruit of the spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then this, it says, against such there is no law. You want to be in freedom, huh? You don't want a law holding you back to what God has for you. Well, then you've got to walk in those things. And it's not easy to walk always in love, in joy, in patience, in kindness when people hurt you. But you choose in the spirit whether you're going to walk in that or not. Amen. You guys, cool. I don't know what to do. If we just pray over everybody or what do you feel?
I just, like, man, this is good stuff. This is good. This is so good. But I tell you this, there's so many levels. But I just, as Benny was preaching, for me, I want to allow the Holy, I really would like the Holy Spirit to minister to one specific area. And that's the area where there might be people carrying unforgiveness. Because I think there are people here this morning sitting with things in their heart, whether it be hurt towards leadership, leaders, churches, people, and you've allowed a root of unforgiveness just to sit there, and it's actually stunted you from going forward in God. And I really want to trust in God for it's the start of freedom. And that was one thing I learned this week. Yes, we can take authority over the things that keep us oppressed and the things that keep us bondage and that. But it's got to start with us choosing to forgive. It's one thing my mom taught me as a young boy growing up. Is boy. You've got to choose to forgive. You've got to choose to love. You've got to choose to forgive. You've got to choose to love. You've got to choose to forgive. And I think, and my feeling this morning is that there are people sitting here with us that are just holding on to things, and you're not walking in all that God has for you. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Let's just take a moment just to really just, and maybe you're sitting there and you're going, what do you mean? But I really feel the Spirit of God is coming to do something, a deep work. And this could be the start for some of us. It could be part of the journey for others. And it might just actually be the cherry in the cake for the rest of us kind of thing. But at first, it's got to start with forgiveness. Firstly, receiving the forgiveness from the Father. And then saying, right, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're struggling just even in that. You don't know what it means to receive the forgiveness of a heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, you know, you don't know what it means you don't understand the work of the cross. Well, just very quickly, Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins. He took on all the sin of the world so that we can be reunited with God. His plan and purpose in creation was for relationship, and Satan came, and he separated us from him through sin. Through the act of sin, we were separated from God. And Jesus came to restore us into that relationship. He came, and then when we choose him and when we ask him for forgiveness of our sins, when we ask him to wash us clean with his blood, his word says he's just and merciful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that instant, in believing that Jesus died for our sins, we receive forgiveness and our names are written into the Lamb's Book of Life. That's grace. An undeserved gift. You know, we all deserve hell, but grace. So maybe you're sitting here and you haven't had an opportunity to receive grace yet. Choose to receive it this morning. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here, eyes closed, just stick up your hand and I want to pray with you. So why don't we just pray together? Because there's someone that's identified. And that's amazing. Maybe it's a recommitment for you. I know some of you guys, man, I want to receive grace again. I need to receive grace. Why don't we just pray together and just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. And that by believing in the work of the cross and receiving that forgiveness, I am set free. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me. To forgive me of my sin. To unburden me of my sin. And to set me free this morning. I thank you for your freedom. Thank you that it is mine this morning. Because you've given it to me. In Jesus' name. Just stay in this place. Let's not run away from this. So we receive his forgiveness. We've believed in faith that he's forgiven us. Amen? So in that same breath, I want you right now where you're sitting, if you are carrying something in your heart towards someone, maybe you, as Benny said, you're carrying your husband's offense. You're carrying your children's offense even. You're carrying your wife's offense. Somebody did something to your wife and now you miffed off. Somebody did something to your children and now you miffed off. Just in this moment, you do business with God. You say, God, I recognize through the preaching of the word, I see it in scripture this morning, that I am wrong. And I choose right now to forgive and either say the person's name or the situation. I choose to forgive. I choose to let it go. Where I was hurt by that leader or that person, or that individual, I was hurt by that situation, I choose this morning to forgive. Where I was let down, where my dreams were dashed, I choose to forgive. And I choose to lay it at the foot of the cross this morning. Lord, in this moment, I pray that as we're doing business with you, I pray that you would begin right now something supernatural. Lord God, that even maybe that the guys have been holding on to things and it's just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit right now, supernaturally, you would begin to do something. Just eyes closed again. Is there anyone in that place that is really just struggling to do that? Maybe you want us to pray with you specifically, like saying, Chad, I can't forgive. You don't know what I went through. I don't want to embarrass you guys. I don't want to make a big thing about it publicly because I know sometimes these things are tender. They're close to heart. I think sometimes we're a bit embarrassed about the fact that maybe we're not getting this right. And I don't want to embarrass you. Is there anyone brave enough to say, man, I've struggled in that area and I need some prayer to help forgive. I need a little bit of time with you guys and we need to just really push a little. You know, the Bible says resist the devil. And that was one of the things I learned. We need to resist. It doesn't always just happen in that moment. Sometimes we need to do a little bit of warfare. We need to do a little bit of, and that was one of the things as well we learned this week is, you know, sometimes it takes more than just speaking once or twice. So is there anyone just really struggling or really maybe just says, no, man, Chad, I want to get together with you guys in the week as a couple and I want you to spend some time praying with you. Is there anyone here like that?
I just want to share something I saw earlier of the Lord here in all his glory, but he was blowing the trumpet, the shofar. And the shofar is used, you know, it brings down strongholds. It brought down the Jericho walls to call people to battle. And we're in a spiritual warfare. And I just really feel literally every one of us will have something, some issue of forgiveness. And if you're feeling a pain in your heart, in the solar plexus, when you hurt, that area actually really is painful. If you're feeling a pain there, come forward and let people pray with you. Don't leave here with a burden, because forgiveness is such a powerful thing. It'll bring healing. It'll bring all sorts of things. So don't leave here if you have an issue. Seriously.
Lauren, won't you? I just want to just take a moment in this place, because, you know, just part of this. You want to share something, Krista?
I would like to share about forgiving someone that's really hurt you. And I would like to share that I've been carrying unforgiveness in my heart for about like over 30 years. And how you know that you haven't forgiven someone is because you keep going back and going to the hurtful moments, and you keep beating yourself up or the other person. And just recently the Lord woke me up and He said to me, you have to release that person. My answer was, but I have forgiven. He says, yes, 70 times 7 every day you have to forgive. But if it still bothers you, you know that it's still tied to you like that dead body that Paul said, God, please deliver me from this body of death, because that corpse is dead on your back and it eats into your life and it prevents you from having life and freedom. You forever stay in your own cage, your own desert. And so He said to me when He woke me up, release that person so that you can be able to pray for that person, that I will bless them, and that that prayer will come in your heart. It will touch you so deeply that you will be healed from your unforgiveness.
Just in this as well, this is a, I know for some of us, like this, you say, Chad, but I've done that. I've forgiven and I still struggle. Like I said, forgiveness is a choice. And you might have to every day get up, and when that thought, you know, the Bible says we need to take our thoughts captive. And in that moment, as you're sitting there and suddenly that you think about that situation, I choose to forgive. That's resisting the devil, resisting the enemy. I choose to forgive. You're carrying along your day and suddenly you're reminded of that person, or you walk in the shops and he walks past you. Forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to love this person. You're doing something and like your wife says something, I choose to forgive. Your son, your daughter reminds you, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. It's a daily thing, guys. We need to do it. And we, for some of us, I believe there can be that instantaneous freedom that comes, and we've seen it. But for others of us that are just, it's a walking out. It's a walking out every day. Why don't we stand together? And maybe if there is something, maybe Hector, do you want to come as well? Let's just have another song of worship. And in this time, if there is anyone just wanting us to pray specifically and just walk, just in terms of letting go, and especially the area of unforgiveness. And I know there are other things, but I'm really feeling the Lord highlighting that this morning. Hey, you, Benny, you guys, anything else you guys feeling?
Just think, just in line with that, you know, as Krishna was sharing, you know, sometimes we don't always know that we're sitting with unforgiveness, but there can be issues that come up. And every time it comes up, there's a vulnerability within us. All of a sudden you feel something, you feel a pain, you feel a sensitivity towards something. Then you know there's still something there. And so there's a sense of being aware of that. And I believe in that sense, if that's you, why don't you come and let's pray for us. Maybe now God will highlight that thing to you. Maybe God will give us that thing to break that thing once and for all. But there's a sense of being vulnerable to that and exposing ourselves to that, that God can deal with it. You know, if a sore is going to be covered up, it's never going to heal. It's always going to fester. And we want to live in that freedom. So if that's you, maybe you can come up and we'll pray for you that God would set you free today.
Just in that as well, this morning I was reading, and I want to confirm as well. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, it cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Just that thing as well, walking in light. If we say we have fellowship with one another, we walk in the light. We bring these things out. It doesn't mean we have to stand up here and confess it to everyone, but there's power in confession and power in just saying, you know what, I've struggled with this. Just pray with me. Just pray with me. I've really struggled in this area. Need you to just ask the Lord. There's power in the stronghold gets broken. Light comes into the darkness and it cannot hide. One of the things we saw this week with praying for some of the guys is how deep, dark, hidden secrets exposed bring freedom. That for me was powerful to see. There were a couple of the ladies we prayed for this week. We just saw freedom because there were deep, hidden secrets they hadn't told anyone. And in that moment, just confessing and saying, this happened or that, and I've harbored this again. I'll tell you what, there was freedom. There was freedom.
I just felt this morning that God says to somebody, you're not a failure. Maybe somebody in the past said, you're not good enough, you failed, you're not good enough. But God this morning says, you're not a failure.
So we're going to worship. And if you want to come forward for prayer, you're most welcome to. But let's just sing this song again and just worship. Fix our eyes on Jesus. If there are guys that come forward, we're going to minister. But for the rest of us, would you pray for those guys as well? Just reach out your arm. And as we pray, maybe just I'll call some of you forward to come and help minister as well. All right, if there are opportunities.